Well, thank you. Every time I spoke to Dave, to just hear him stand and share what God is doing in his life this morning just brings joy to my heart. And thank you. But it's a good day to be alive. Amen. It's a good weekend to be alive. There's something about this weekend that is, first of all, it's like an enigma. The more you try to explain it, the more it goes away from you. And further to that, this weekend is like a contradiction. Because it's a weekend of death, but yet it's a weekend of life-giving. Amen. That's what it's all about. So this morning I just wanted to share with you briefly, and not to take too much of your time, as to what it means to be a follower of Jesus. In the past week, we've dealt with the seven sayings of Jesus on the cross. Jesus mentioned seven things while he was hanging on the cross, and here are the seven things listed. Today, you will be with me in paradise. I thirst. It is finished. Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Behold your son. Behold your mother. And today, my God, why have you forsaken me? The most dreadful utterance from the lips of Jesus while hanging on the cross, he cries out, and for the first time, Jesus refers to the Father as God. If you look at the previous seven sayings, whenever he had to talk to the Father, he used the word Father. And now, for the first time, He uses the word God. He says, my God, why have you forsaken me? Kind of a scary utterance, isn't it? Because somewhere along the line, something broke. The father-son relationship actually broke there. For Jesus to now refer to his father in the term of God rather than Father means that something happened on that cross that is very, very scary. And I want to talk about that this morning. But before I do that, I just want you to, when you think about what Jesus has done, on this weekend 2000 years ago, I want you to think about it like this way. Let's say you've been driving around on the M1, and then you unconsciously went over the speed limit. And you did like 120 miles in a 70 mile, zone, and you got clicked. And then the lovely little photograph came to you, the most expensive photograph you'll ever have. It comes on the post. You look at it and you say, oh, there's no fine on it. There's no traffic fine on it. Because they said because of the way you violated the traffic rule, you have to appear in court. And so they give you a date, you put on your best clothes, you pitch up in court, and then you come into, when it's your turn, you look at the judge, and it's your father. Your dad is now sitting as the judge. And you think, oh, I'm going to get away today. My dad is up there. He's going to sort this out for me. All he's going to say is, not guilty, and I'm going to walk away free because my dad is there. And then you come and you stand in the box, and your dad looks at you. He looks at the fine sheet, and then he takes the gavel and he knocks it on the table and he says, guilty. And you go, what? You're my dad. You're supposed to make a plan. And if he's going to be a righteous judge, he has to declare you guilty. And then what he does, the most remarkable thing in this court, is that he gets up from his seat. After he says you're guilty, he gets up from his seat, takes out his gown and whatever they put on as judges in this country, places it on his desk. Then he walks around to where you're standing. And then he puts his hand in his pockets and pulls out his wallet. And then he says, here's the fine for my son. He has to declare you guilty before he pays the fine. And that's what God has done 2,000 years ago. He declared us guilty. And then he said, I'm going to make a plan. Because you can't pay this fine. It is way beyond your means. I'm going to get the fine sorted out for you. And then he puts off his judge's gown, comes around in the form of his son, hangs on the cross, and pays your bill. Fully paid. Stamped. Paid in full. And you now walk free. I want you to think about this incident on the cross. Jesus is hanging, and his father, the relationship that he has with his father turns his face away from Jesus. Jesus is in his painful state upon the cross. The father, his heavenly father, turns his face away. And quite often theologians were struggling with this verse as to why would God forsake Jesus in the most delicate hour of his life. Now, if I asked you a question, who is the most righteous person to walk upon the face of this earth? What would your answer be? Jesus, right? Isn't it? Wouldn't you say that? The most righteous person to walk upon the face of this earth is Jesus. Then if I asked you, who is the most sinful person to walk upon the face of the earth? I bet you will never say Jesus, because Jesus is the most righteous person. But let me tell you something this morning. When Jesus hung upon that cross, look at this verse. And he, Jesus, is the propitiation for our sins. And not only for our sins, for you Christians that are seated here, but for the entire world. Jesus is hanging upon the cross, and the sins of the entire world is placed upon Jesus. The most righteous person, the Son of God. The most sinful person, the Son of God. Not his sin, your sin and my sin placed upon him that caused the Father to turn his face away from him. Because the Father is holy. And a holy God cannot look upon sin. And my sin, your sin, the sin of the entire world is placed upon Jesus at that particular moment. And the Father has to turn his face away from him. The sin of the entire world, the billions born before Jesus came into this world, the billions born after Jesus came into this world, all that sin collectively is placed upon Jesus upon the cross, and the Father cannot look upon sin, and he turns his face away. What a price to pay this morning. What a price to pay. You know, the Bible says in Philippians chapter 2 that he said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. You know when that no reputation happened in Jesus? When all your sin and my sin was placed upon him. No reputation. And he hung upon that cross, and his Father forsook him at that hour. Why? Because he carried your sin and my sin. The righteousness of God, who is Jesus Christ, became sin, so that you and I, who are sin, can become the righteousness of God. What a divine exchange that happened on that day 2,000 years ago. The righteousness of God became sin, so the sinfulness of man can become righteous. The sinful man can become righteous. I want to call Sean and Steve forward this morning. I've asked them to dress for the occasion. The interesting thing is this morning, I went into onto the website. Something went wrong with my slides, but anyway, that's no problem. I went onto the website to look for, and I typed in old tattered garments. You know, Google tries to help you with those things. Old tattered garments. You put it in there, you'll get a whole lot of tattered garments, right? And I thought I wanted to use a couple of those pictures. So every single picture I looked at that was old tattered garments is today normal wear for people. I picked up as an old tattered pants, and it all had all those patches and stuff on it, and it's now in fashion. Just like sin, my friends. Sin is in fashion today in this world. You can stay with your old tattered garments of sin and think it's a fashion. And that's what's happening in the world today. So no matter what you, when you go onto Google and look for old tattered garments, they'll show it to you as a fashion that you can wear today. And that's how sin is represented in this world. You can take this old tattered garment and wear it as normal. And so I've asked Steve to come in and Sean. Because a transaction took place upon the cross. Here is man, represented by Steve, with his coat of sin and darkness and evil and separation from God. This coat of sin is what separates him from God the Father. And then we have on the other side, we have Jesus with his coat of righteousness. Pure, white, holiness, perfect. And then we get Jesus on the cross. Just step forward a bit. Right, stand there. Right. We get Jesus on the cross. He comes behind man and he takes man's garment of unrighteousness out. And he throws it away. And then he takes his cloak of righteousness and places it upon man. And then he declares man, and then he declares man righteous before the Father. Not by man's righteousness, but the righteousness of Jesus the Son that is now placed upon man that gives us access to the Father. Can we go in our own strength before the Father? No, we can't. You know why we can't? Because we are sinful. And you know, the Father is holy. He cannot look at sin. So he cannot accept us. The only way the Father accepts us this morning is when the righteousness of Jesus Christ is placed upon me. I am now declared righteous in the presence of the Father. My friend, today, if you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you have no fear to go into the presence of the Father because you are declared righteous. When you enter into His presence, He just nudges Jesus and He says, "Here goes my righteous one." But He doesn't see my righteousness. He sees the righteousness of Jesus placed upon us. That's a transaction that happened on the cross. That is why I'm a believer in this God. That is why I can go before this God bravely and boldly come into His presence. You know why? He accepts me and He says, come to me. And He takes me in His arms and He holds me because of the righteousness of Jesus Christ that is placed upon me. And that righteousness is for you this morning. God wants to place His righteousness upon you. All you have to say, "Lord, in me there is no good thing. I really need a good thing. And you are that. Your righteousness is that good thing that I want placed upon me. And today I want to take you as my Lord and Savior." Thank you, gentlemen. God bless you. My God, why have you forsaken me? I know why He's forsaken Jesus on the cross. Because of my sin. Rocky sin that was placed upon Jesus on the cross, that the Father turned His face away. But Jesus comes and He says, "Now my righteousness, Rocky, I'm placing upon you. My righteousness, Dave, I'm placing upon you. My righteousness, Jacob, I'm placing upon you. My righteousness, Helen, I'm placing upon you. You are my righteous one, Shalomi. I'm placing my righteousness upon you so that you can be declared righteous before the Father." Amen? That's the time where we should be clapping and shouting and thanking God that we are in His presence and enjoying that. I'm sorry, I get excited about what Jesus has done for me. And I love Him. I love Him for that. I want you to fall in love with Him. When you get to know Him and He gives you that intimacy with the Father, it's amazing. As long as you've got the righteousness of Jesus Christ upon you, you will never have to cry, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Because God constantly looks at the righteousness of Jesus Christ this morning. Will you bow your heads in prayer? Father, we are so thankful for Jesus, who has taken our sinful, stained, old, tattered garments and gave us a robe of pure white. I'm feasting on manna from heaven. And that's why I'm happy tonight. That's why I'm happy today. That's why I'm happy every single day of my life. Because you took my old tattered garments and you gave me a robe of pure white. And this morning I celebrate that with this congregation. I celebrate that in the breaking of bread. I celebrate that in baptism. I celebrate it with this your children this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to come...